in the time of the storm. Oh man, Hermine was rocking and rattling this week, rocking and rolling up the coast. But it's always great to know, Kathy reminded us, that God is a shelter in the time of our storm. He's a shelter in the midst of our storm this morning. Whatever you're going through, God will bring you through. I believe that. I don't just say that. I know that. I know that. Have you ever been between a... I do that all the time. Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been in a valley of decision before? Or what do we do? What do we do? Well, I want to share a powerful word. Thank you all for coming this morning. Thank you all for being here. I look around the room. We have some of our UVA women's basketball team with us today. Isn't it awesome to have our UVA women with us today? We got old friends that we've known from past that are with us today, graced us with their presence. So if you have a Bible, which I hope you do, because you've got to know what the Word of God says. And you got to know more than of what it says than just on Sunday morning. Because the Word of God needs to be a part of our life every day. Every day. They say every day. How many here today came into this room, came into this place with facing situations, facing battles, struggles, situations? How many come in here? Whether that's health issues, employment issues, financial issues, struggling in your own life with the sin issue or whatever the thing is. And Grant, I appreciate that. Listen, Shannon's got the wounds to prove it. I saw it post yesterday. Hold those hands up, Shannon. Hold those hands up. You see that? That's from competing in the strongman contest. And Shannon didn't give up despite the blood. You know, he's got some real bad blisters on his hands. In spite of the blood, he didn't give up. How many knows that you got to be determined when you do anything in the Christian walk? You got to be determined not to give up. Okay? Because how many knows that the odds are always against what God is doing in your life? The odds are always against. Well, I'm glad that God doesn't play by odds. He doesn't roll dice. He's not up there in heaven just rolling some dice. Becky, you got some of those images that of Lost Creek? When we walked up on the property, yeah, the old ones with the trees grown up and all that stuff. When we walked up on that property, We just believed that God had a direction for us. A lot of people walked up on that property. Some of those people are not with us today. Some of them said they would, but they're not. And I understand that. That happens sometimes. You see that? That's Lost Creek. You see that? All the odds were against us. When we pulled up on that property, and Mrs. R, I'm going to just tell on her a little bit, okay? She said, "Honey, I don't see it. Where is it?" How many knows you can't always see what God has ahead of you? But by what? faith, everybody say, by faith, we believe that God has a plan. You see, people told me, there were people in public restaurants and facilities that told me that we were making a mistake by building in such economic times that we're living in. So immediately the voice of the naysayer begins to speak in my mind. And how many has ever he's ever spoken in your mind before when God, you knew God had a plan, but everything, all the odds were against you in accomplishing that. How many knows what I'm saying? So, but God always has a way of bringing us through. He always has a way of bringing it through. I'm reminded in Scripture, just keep them there for a minute if you want to, Becky. I'm reminded in the Scripture in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If God's about it, if God's about the plan, then who can be against the plan? Job chapter 31 says that nothing can stop the plan of God. Not man, not armies, not powers, not principalities can stop the plan of God. If we will be determined, and if we'll keep trusting and keep pressing on and believing in the plan that God has for us, then nothing can stop. Nothing can stop the Lord. Nothing can stop the Lord. So this morning, because the odds are not always for us, they're always stacked against us. And throughout the pages of God's Word, we're reminded all kinds of scriptures in the Word of God were stories where the odds were against the people of God. The odds of them doing what they were supposed to do wasn't supposed to happen that way. To some people, this is not supposed to happen. There are some people, and I like what maybe Grant said this earlier. There are some people that want it to happen and praying that it happened. There are some people hoping that it won't happen. How many knows that? How many knows that? So what are the odds? What are the odds that whatever God calls us to do, that this will be accomplished? Against all the odds, and in the sports world, and I like sports, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you probably already don't know, but there was a famous basketball game a few years ago when a little small team that really by statistics and by population shouldn't be Division I, but the little Mercer, how many's ever heard of a team named Mercer before? And the NCAA beat the mighty Duke. If Kelly's listening and watching, I just made it a bad day for him because he's a Duke fan. And I'm sure he don't want to remember that. Frazier beat Ali. You know, he wasn't supposed to be beat. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, you know. Nobody was supposed to beat Ali. All the odds were against him, but Frazier beat, overcome Ali. You know, remember this, and if you ever watch, and I know you girls are not into this right now, okay. You're going to be all right, though. You'll get there, okay. The famous basketball coach, he died of cancer, and he coached North Carolina State. His name was Valvano, is that his name, Heath? All right. And he coached the Wolfpack. And he did something in the basketball world that said it was impossible. He took down the mighty Houston Cougars dream team in 1983. Wasn't supposed to happen, but he did it. How many remember seeing clips of that before? And after they do that, I mean, they're jumping all over the place, and you know, because that great victory. You know, how many's ever heard of a man named Joe Namath? Anybody ever heard of Joe Namath? Oh my goodness sakes alive. Lord, we're having problems here today. Joe Namath was a great Jets football player. And, you know, the fact is, He shocked the Colts one year, upset the Colts. Wasn't supposed to happen. All the odds were against him. I've heard Heath mention this before. Buster Douglas. How many's ever heard of Buster Douglas? You probably never heard of him except for this time that he beat the mighty Mike Tyson. And it wasn't supposed to happen. All the odds. I wonder how much money was made in Las Vegas and all the betting facilities and casinos or the facilities around the country at that time about the odds there. The odds were against him. And I know everybody's heard this and you've seen this. Every time the Olympics come up, you see clips of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. How many knew about that? When they beat the mighty Soviet Union, it wasn't supposed to happen. Nobody beats the mighty Soviet Union. But nobody told those young men that day when they went out to face the Soviet Union and they won the gold. All the odds were against them. So the odds can be against you. How many knows that? The odds can be against you. The odds can be seemingly against the plans that God has for you. But I'm reminded in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. How many knows that in Christ we have a future and we have a hope? Amen. Somebody needs to give him some praise. Lord, wake us up. When the odds seem like they're against you, God loves it like that. God loves to write stories like that when the odds are against you. When there doesn't seem to be any way possible that this is going to happen. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 19. When Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Everybody say, God's possibility. Guess what? You're God's possibility. When the world counted you out, God counted you in. When the world said quit and give up, there's no use to it, God counted you in. God says all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. Nobody told a little Virgin Mary that in Luke 1:37 when the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Mary, you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. How many knows that you found favor in the eyes of the Lord? God's hand is upon you. His eye is upon you. God's attention is upon you. You found favor. Favor and grace. Everybody shout grace. You know why you're here? Not because you're pretty. Not because you're smart. Just because of God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. That makes it a sealed deal. And so Luke 1. In verse 37, the angel of the Lord said, Mary, you're going to have a child. I can't have a child. I can't have a child. I've never even known a man. How could I have a child? I mean, maybe she didn't go to what's the class where they teach human anatomy or biology or anatomy? Maybe she didn't understand. But there was something about that she didn't understand. Maybe she missed that in that class and she took that class. But she knew one thing for sure, that women do not have babies without a mate. But how can this thing be, she said. Because the Lord said, all things are possible with God. Amen. You're a possibility. You're a dream waiting to be lived out. Listen, this ministry, listen, there are people, the odds are against us. People are against us. Things are against us. But God loves things like that. He loves to write stories like that. He loves to write stories where he raises up those that were left out. He raises up, listen, ministries where people said that it couldn't be done, or work that people said it couldn't be done. I'm glad to say that I serve a God and worship a God who is about a possibility. Amen. Listen, don't count God out. Count him in, because God is about to do great and mighty things. God's ready to open your eyes so you can see the glory of God. But I don't see it. I can't figure it out. Well, guess what? You're not going to. You can't figure God out. No one has. So, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Wow, I'm so thankful today that we serve a God of great possibilities. God of great possibilities. All things are possible through Him. So whatever you're facing today, whatever you're looking at, whatever situation, know that all those things are possible. Nobody told, well, they did tell Abraham and Sarah this, but they waited a mighty long time because God promised Abraham that he would have a son of promise. And God didn't forget his plan or forgot his word. And I want to say to you all this morning, you are in a place. And he sent me something the other day about God keeps his promises. That the promises of God are yes and amen. What God told you and spoke into your life a long time ago is a reality in the kingdom of God. Is in God's great plan. But you know what? And Abraham believed God. And the Bible said he was imputed to righteousness because he did believe. And he left his homeland and went searching for a city and followed God's plan and didn't know where he was going. And sometimes it's like that in our Christian walk. But he remembered God's word to him and he said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. See those stars and I'll bless your descendants like that. You see the sand on the seashore, I'm going to bless your descendants. They'll be great and they'll be mighty. There'll be so many of them. And so God kept his word. But Abraham forgot in the midst of his waiting upon God's plan and God's timing. How many knows that God's about the timing a lot of times in our life? It's not your way. Listen, friend, you can't have things your way and God's way. You can't do both of them. How many knows that you can't have your way and God's way? It's not my will, but thy will be done. That even Jesus learned that. And as he prayed and he was submissive to the Father here in 3.5 years of ministry, he was submissive to the Father's will and the Father's plan. And he prayed in that garden moment before he was captured. And he prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he prayed, but then he prayed in that agonizing prayer, Father, not my will, but your will be done. If it's possible, let this pass from me. But Lord, if you've got another plan, let that plan work. Because how many knows that he was looking at the cross? He was looking at his persecutors. He was looking at his tormentors. He was looking at all those things. If it's some way possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my plan, not my will, but let your will be done. How many knows that's called surrender? Amen. You want to know what God's plan is in your life? You surrender to God's plan and God will begin to walk, have you walk in something far greater than you can imagine. So Abraham surrendered and followed God, and God told him he's going to bless him, he's going to have a child, but he, 100 years old, Abraham became impatient. So God one day sent, this is found in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, I don't want you to go there. And God sent some angels to inform Abraham that his word was going to come to pass. That he was going to have a child. He was going to have a son. Well, how can this be? How can this be, Lord? I'm 100 years old. How many knows that not too many 100-year-old men have children? But how many knows there are not too many 90-year-old women that have children? Come on, guys. Are y'all with me today? Lord, wake your people up today. Wake your people up from slumber. And Lord, let them get a hold of this word today. 90-year-old women do not have children. That's right. Kathy and I learned that even 60-some-year-old people shouldn't have children. Because you can't be a great parent. You run out of steam. You run out of energy when you're up in years. Sister Frieda, you run out of energy. You run out of steam. When you're up in years, when you're trying to raise children, trying to have children. But 90-year-old, because her womb had already dried up, the barren children, those years passed her by. But God waited to an impossible situation, seemingly to man. God waited to where all the odds were against him.
imagine what were the odds that a 90-year-old woman would have a son, have a child. What were the odds? Come on, you're smart in math, Mr. Dakota. You're a chemist. You've got to be smart in math. All the odds were against him. All the odds were against him. And Abram believed God, and he entertained these angels, and he fed them, and he took care of the word instruction to him. But his wife Sarah was inside the tent. She was inside the tent this one instant when the angel spoke to Abraham, and she overheard the conversation. Like, did I hear him right? Did I hear those angels say that I'm going to have a baby? And so, because of this incredible news and such a fascinating thing, such a thing that a wonder, that she sort of laughed under her breath. She laughed just enough so the angels of the Lord overheard. So the Lord overheard. How many knows that sometimes we may not laugh at God, but how many times in your life have you said, God, you sure you got this right? Oh man, I wish I was preaching some real people here today. I mean, how many in here in this room would be truthful today have ever told the Lord, God, you sure you got this right? Listen, how many times have I wondered in this in my mind, and Harless has wondered this in their mind, Lord, you sure you got this right? You sure this is the right people? You sure this is the right plan? You sure you know what you're doing? How many knows that God knows what he's doing? God knows what he's doing in your life. Quit trying to be God. Quit trying to mess things up by helping him out. Sometimes we just got to stand still and let God be God. Amen. Come on, somebody give him praise. The great reformist Martin Luther, back many, many years ago, centuries ago, said this powerful but true statement, and it's been said so many times. It's probably on t-shirts today, and he didn't realize that. He was a great reformationist, and he believed God and this powerful thing. He broke away from Catholicism, and he believed God, and he said, the just shall live by faith. That was heretical doctrine at that time. You don't say things like that. But he believed God. He was a revivalist. He was a visionary, and he believed God for this. And he said this powerful statement: let God be God. Isn't that awesome? Just let God be God. How many knows there are times that you've got to, Kathy, just let God be God. I can't figure it out. I can't work it out. I don't know what to do. Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay for this? Lord, what are we going to do? Father, how am I going to get through this in my life? How am I going to get through this problem? How are my children going to get through this problem? How am I going to get over this disease? How am I going to get through this situation in my life? Listen, if we'll just stand fast, stand in the Lord, stand upon his word, stand upon his promises. I'm standing upon the promises. Amen. Just stand on the word of God. It too shall come to pass. Everything that God said shall come to pass. Amen. She laughed. She laughed at the Lord's word. And God did open her womb, and she had a son, the son of promise, and his name was Isaac. His name means laughter. He brought laughter to the parents, Abraham and Sarah. Wow. There's a blessing coming your way today if you'll believe God. And against all odds of believing him, against all odds of believing him, you have, Becky, that, don't anybody hold their breath. I put a little casino thing up there. Three numbers. Please don't take offensive to that, okay? How many knows that God doesn't roll dice? He's not up there just rolling dice and say, okay, chances are that this will work if it rolls on these two numbers or three numbers. God doesn't roll. He doesn't roll dice. He's not someone who is walking the floor wondering what he's doing, thinking of what he's doing. He's not about that. The Lord is not about that today. God is a God of possibilities. He's a God of possibilities. Say it's possible. It's possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. I know we say we believe God, but do we trust him enough? I read this thing one time, this article about this advertising right here in this casino that read with this slogan, "It's a good place to get filthy rich." How many know that the odds are of you getting rich by the lottery is very slim? How many knows that? So you can walk away a very poor. You can walk away there a very poor, broke person with the idea that I might get rich by playing the lottery or playing at casinos or whatever. And the idea of odds just fascinates people. We're high rollers. We like that kind of thing. We like taking chances. We like those kinds of things. And it fascinates people. But God is not a God who rolls the dice and is for the odds. God works against the odds. God works against the odds. Say, he's working. Everybody say, he's working. So today, what does all this mean? What does all this mean? And I thought about this, and I read this little thing, and it said the idea of odds suggests that a probability or a chance of a certain outcome occurring. There's a chance that this occurred. There's a chance that ministry, that Lost Creek up there will be built. There's a chance that you're going to get your miracle. There's a chance that you're going to get your healing. There's a chance that your children are going to get saved. There's a chance, listen, that whatever you're going through in your life, there's a chance that it might happen. There's a chance you might get that job. There's a chance that your finances might be better. But how many knows that God doesn't work with the odds? He works against the odds. If God's for you, then who can be against you? When life is against you, God is for you. Amen. Believe God. Believe God. What are the chances of that happening? What were the chances of Abraham having a son at 100 and his wife at 90? What are the chances that Moses, an old man, 80 years old, just walked around with a stick going down and facing the mighty army of Pharaoh in Egypt, the greatest power on that earth? What are the chances that he would walk into Pharaoh's court with that stick and say, God said, let my people go? What are the chances that Pharaoh would have heard him? What are the chances that that would have worked? I know some people say a senile man walked around with a stick all the time. And I know people look at me as old and senile. Here's this old Pastor R walking around like he knows what he's doing, like he knows what's going on. Listen, I don't know a lot myself, but I know somebody who does. Amen. And I love it when God rises up, stands up, and says, stand still and see my salvation. Amen. I love it when God rewrites things that should have gone bad. I love it when people see that and they say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what are the odds that Moses went down to Pharaoh and said, let my people go? And I can just imagine the conversation. Can you imagine the conversation that Moses must have had with Pharaoh? Maybe he wasn't allowed to speak a lot, but maybe Pharaoh said, who is this crazy man? Imagine the devil puts thoughts in people's minds all the time about your miracle. Who are these crazy people? Who are these crazy people? I imagine when Jesus walked on the scene, and listen, some people knew him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the promise. But some people thought he was only Joseph's son, the carpenter's son from Nazareth. What good thing could come out of Nazareth? And they probably counted him out. This is only Joseph's and Mary's son, Jesus. He's just a carpenter. He's really nobody. But God had a plan in the loins and the seed. God had a plan in the heart, the spiritual loins of Jesus. God had a plan. And listen, when all the odds were against him, when everybody, when religion was against him, when struggles were against him, when people were against him, when the Roman government was against him, when things were against him, God was for him. And God was carrying out his plan upon the earth. God was carrying out his plan through his son Jesus. And God's got a plan, and he's carrying out his people through the descendants of Jesus. Yeshua, he's got a plan that he's carrying out through the hearts of his people. And nobody can stop the plan of God. How many knows that nobody can stop the plan of God? Let me tell you something. If you were the only one on this earth and everybody on this planet was against you, amen, you'd still be a majority, amen? No, you're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. I said if you're the only person on this earth and everybody was against you and nobody was for you, guess what? You're a majority, amen, because God is for you. Oh, so who would have thought that this little carpenter's son would go to a cross, would die, buried in the dirt, buried in the earth. What were the odds that he would ever get up from the grave? Because people said he wouldn't. He's just a man. He died like a man. He bled like a man. They took his broken body down like a man. They put him in a tomb, wrapped him just like every man that's been buried. What are the odds that this man could get up out of the dirt? But on the third day, everybody say the third day. There's something about God's day. Some of you today are standing on the third day of your life. Amen. You're in the third day. You're in the third day. Turn to somebody and say, you're on the third day. Because God's getting ready to get some people up. God's getting ready to get some people up. I wish there were some people here today that would believe the plan of God. Your mind's so fickle and so messed up and so polluted with the struggles you're going through. Some of you here right now, you're having trouble believing what I'm preaching. I said some of you right now are having trouble believing what the Lord is saying today. It may happen for my brother. It may happen for my sister. But surely not me, Lord. I've been buried 3 days. Oh, I've been under my circumstances for 3 days. I saw this quote. I thought that was pretty powerful. About circumstances. And all the odds against us. Someone said that circumstances are like a mattress. They say mattress. You get on top of them and you'll rest. But if you get under them, if you get under that mattress, you'll suffocate to death. And some of you have been in the dirt for longer than 3 days and you're suffocating and you're nearly at the point of croaking. That's an old term for, you know, going on. Some of you have been under your circumstances. It's time that we quit laying under our circumstances. But God's looking for an army that will get up, and defy the odds and say, if God is for us, nobody can be against us. Today's my getting up day. Today's my getting up day. Jesus lay in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. But he didn't quit preaching there. Oh, Brother Rick, but on the third day, something happened. Through the darkness, a great light penetrated that dark tomb where that big stone had been rolled over. Something penetrated that earth. Oh, moved into the heart of his son. Something began to move in the heart of Jesus. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, life become real in his situation. Someone who had been overcome by death, yeah, amen, was ready to get up from death, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus got up that day, conquered death, hell, and the grave? And no weapon fashioned against you will prosper, amen, because God has a plan. God's trying to waken that plan up in some of you all. Been going to sleep. You've been going to sleep. Time to wake up. You're an army. You're an army. We can't be buried by our circumstances. You can't. Some of you suffocating. When's the last time you had your good shout? You say, Pastor, I never have shouted. It's time you started shouting. Time you started shouting. Oh, it's time you started shouting. Dancing. Time some of you started dancing. I never have danced, Pastor. Time you started dancing. Amen. Put your dancing shoes on. On that third day, light penetrated that dark tomb. Something began to quake inside the earth. Something began to shake inside the earth. Then a stone rolled away. A stone rolled away. A stone rolled away. And the guards that were present, watching and guarding, they just all fell because of the power of God that was present that day. Jesus said, arise, my son, my beloved, get up. It's time to get up. Listen, death had you down, but now you've defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Do you know what, Kevin? That's who you are in Christ, my friend. You've defeated death, hell, and the grave. Jesus already sealed the deal. He already paid the price. His death was a down payment to your inheritance. Hallelujah. Listen, what is Jesus's, it's yours, Betty. Sickness can't hold him. Death can't hold him. Hell could not defeat him. And that third morning, he got up. What are the odds of that happening? Dead men don't get up out of the grave. Or at least they say. But Jesus got up. Victorious. He wasn't overcome by his circumstances. He overcome the circumstances. And because he overcome, that makes you an overcomer. That makes you an overcomer. Do you understand that? There should have been 40 people shouting right there. At least 40 people shouting right there. I should have had to wait a minute to get the atmosphere cleared so the word of God can continue to go forth. That's your problem. We believe it on Sunday morning, but we don't believe it always on Monday. Because how many knows Monday's coming? Because you can have a great victory. Oh, you're ready to tear the world apart. You're ready to do all things. And you have a great blessing and a great victory. But come Monday morning, the enemy is going to try to get in your cup. He's going to try to get in your cup. He's going to try to be dregs in your cup. He's going to try to be disappointment. He's going to try to be discouragement. He's going to try to be confusion. He's going to try to do all that in your cup. But the same Jesus that woke you up on Sunday morning and put a passion in your heart to come and worship the God who can do all things, who can do anything. God answers to none. He don't go and check in to a time clock. God doesn't answer anybody. He doesn't ask permission from anybody. God just does what he does because he's God. I'm going to remind you of what Jesus told, or what the Lord told her, Sarah, in the book of Genesis chapter 18. This is a good word for us to remember. The same thing that he's telling us in verse 14. Is anything too hard for me, Abraham? Is anything too hard for me? So some of you have got it figured out that something's too hard for God, right? He can do most things, but not everything, right? Amen. But how many knows it's important to remember that on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning? Friday night's not the devil's night, it's God's night. God made the days of the week. Quit giving the devil days of the week and saying, listen, Friday and Saturday is the devil's days. No, listen, all the days of the week are God's days. God, God's days, God's days, God's days, God's day. God's got a plan every day for your life. Jessica, you and Shannon, and I'm not picking on you, so don't get embarrassed. I'm not going to have you come up here. I'm not going to have you repeat anything or say anything. But back here a few weeks ago, man, your backs were against the wall. What were the odds of that blessing coming your way? Very slim. In fact, the things that I heard from you, they needed this powerful financial blessing in their life. Or they've been buried under their circumstances. And they were suffocating. And we prayed, and I say, believe God. Let's believe God. You started praying. We sent a special request out. Some of you all, listen, and I know we can all be guilty of this. Sometimes we don't even pay any mind to those requests coming out because we get so many requests. But how many knows that if it's Aunt Susie's request, it's just as important as your request? Amen. And how many knows if it's important to that need, it's important to your need. So, but I know we're all human. We mess up and we get busy. We get sidetracked and things about this. But this need was important in their life. And they begin to pray and believe God. And listen, when she sent me a text and I said, well, it's time to shout. You know, she gave me this amazing news that only God could have worked out in their situation. How many knows that there are things in your life that you know only God could have worked that out? Only God could have worked that out. I said only God could have worked that out. Some of you wasn't even supposed to have a baby, but you have a baby because only God could work that out. Come here. I don't mean that in a bad way. Come here. I know you're a little mealy mouse. Come on, Tony. What are you waiting on? She's your wife. I saw this man running across traffic in the storm this past week. And he's real fast. Get across the street. We don't know what I'm talking about. But he left his wife in the middle of the road. I said, what was it you said, Will? Sorry for him. Let me share something powerful with you. The odds of Axelin seeing the way she sees, all the odds against, what I want to know is how come you're not shouting 20 feet, taking steps of 20 feet? Because all the odds of her seeing like she's seeing today, all the odds were against her. But people begin to pray and believe. Expect God to do things in your life. They simply did what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. when those three powerful enemies come and surrounded Jehoshaphat, there was no way for him to get out of that situation. They were outnumbered 3-1. All the odds were against him. All the odds were against this couple. Some of you here today would not be here had it not been for God coming through on your behalf. I have boldness to say that. Some of you would not physically be sitting in this room today had it not been for a God who stood in the gap for you. On the authority of God's word, I'm declaring it over your life. Some of you have forgotten what God has done. And I'm going to say this. God had to remind Jehoshaphat what he had done. And so when all the odds were against him, they said, "Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, but our eyes are upon you." This is a problem we have in Christendom today, including me. When all the odds are against us, what we look at are the odds. We focus on the problems. We focus on the difficulties. And then we lose sight of the bigness of God. When all the odds were against him, no, she's not going to see. Doctors have told her, what'd that do your faith, Bo? Oh, you know, she's not going to see like that. You know, she can't see. You know, people, this, you know, she's not going to have this kind of eyesight and that kind of eyesight. But they went to the Lord. You went to the Lord on their behalf. You believed in an impossible prayer. You, somewhere in your mind, you didn't get that where it said. You did get it where it said all things are possible to those that believe. And you believe God. There's some of you here today need to believe God against all the odds, against all the circumstance, against all the problems that you're facing. Start believing that God is bigger than what you're looking at. You know what? Yes, this ministry's going through problems. And if we'd not gone through problems, we wouldn't appreciate more what God has done for us. Because when God finally gets us there, we're going to be able to know for certain that it's the hand of the Lord that's got us there. If he want to use somebody's fat checkbook, that's fine. If he want to use some millionaire's bank account, that's fine. Bring it on, Lord. But listen. Wow. What about that? I say, Lord, you know what you're talking about. Somebody needs to give him some praise. You need to wake up and give God some praise. And the greater work that I have yet to do in your life is yet to be done in your life. Trust me, depend upon me, stand upon my word, and see if I will not bring you through just as I have many times before. I said that passionately, not angrily. I know Tony is looking at me like. So they stood upon that. They went to the Lord and they sought the Lord. And they could have focused on the problem. So many of us focus on our problems, including me. Pastors let things get them down. Because what we can get caught in trap, what we can get entrapped in is everybody else's problems. What we can get trapped in is the size of the whole thing. And I say to God, only you can do this, Lord. I have no might. I have no power. And my own strength. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, the Lord says. Zechariah 4:6. It's not by our human understanding, our human will. That's important. It's not just by human strength, our power. It to some degree, we have to put that effort out. We have to have faith. But then God moves in, because when we can't do it in our own strength, God says, let me do it. Amen. This is my specialty. Let me do it. This is what I specialize in healing people of cancer. I specialize. I do it every day. I get people every day. I specialize in getting people up from the grave. I specialize in delivering people from drug addiction. I specialize in breaking chains of alcohol and perversion. I specialize in healing shoulders. And if I use a little doctor along the way, hallelujah. But God gets the glory. So Tony, Brittany's daughter, asked him, so what was the last doctor's report? Don't hum haw around, just get to it.
It was amazing. They've been telling us for 5 years now that she would eventually be blind. They were saying she had RP. And we was there in July, and the doctor was just completely in a loss for words. Eyesight's improvement. Both eyes are equal. There's no more clumping of the pigmentation behind her eyes. He says that there's no signs of RP whatsoever.
Did you just hear what the Lord said? If that's a possibility here, it's a possibility with you.
Keep her in your prayers, though. We go back Thursday to have it medically confirmed. God has done confirmed it. We go Thursday. They're going to do a surgical procedure. They're going to go in behind her eyes, and then it will be medically confirmed. But we're done declaring it.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give it up for the Lord. The Lord is awesome in this place. The Lord is awesome in this place. The Lord is awesome. He's no respected person. He's working in Sister Betty. He's working in Big John. What are the odds that somebody from the western part of the state of Tennessee would end up in this crazy bunch of people in Southwest Virginia? What are the odds that this drug dealer from the streets of Kingsport would end up former drug dealer saved by God's grace, amen? But you know, even if you're still dealing drugs, this is a place for you to be, friend, because eventually it's going to catch up with you and God's going to get a hold of you and jerk you up one side and jerk you down the other side. He's going to make a new creation out of you. Amen. What are the odds? So we don't know what to do with this mighty host, Jehoshaphat said. But our eyes are on you, Lord. One of my favorite stories out of the book of the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Some of you can read that. What were the odds that God would deliver them when they were surrounded on every side by an enemy force and they were outnumbered 3-1? What were the odds? And they began to seek God with all their heart. They put God first. And some of us, we want that, but we don't want God first. Let me tell you, God will not play second fiddle. He won't play second fiddle to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, to your friends, to your hobbies, to whatever. How many knows that God won't play second fiddle? Put him first. And Jehoshaphat began to seek the Lord and all of Israel first. They began to seek God. And God began to show them, just like he's showing many of us. Have I not done it before, Jehoshaphat? Did I not deliver you from your enemies before? Have I not delivered you from cancer before? Have I not delivered you from your enemies before? Have I not done? Let me tell you, let me ask you a question. I'm close. How many here today is a testament to what God can do if you allow God? Let God be God. How many here knows without a shadow of a doubt you would not be here today had it not been for the Lord who brought you out, who stood up for you, who stood with you and delivered you with a mighty hand. How many knows, even though you may not be as close to him right now as you need to be, listen, God has done it before. He'll do it again. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to do it again. I believe that. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. He'll do it again. Whatever work he did in your life, and then you let life get in your way, you let problems get in your way, you let struggles get in your way, let all these situations get in your way, and they've suffocated you because you've been under the mattress, suffocating by your circumstances and by your problems. God says it's time to get up. It's the third day. It's time to get up. There's a third day in your life right now. It's time for you to get up. So stand in this, Jehoshaphat, and see my salvation. And the first thing he told the people of God to do, don't go out and hire a big mercenary army. Don't go out and get other army forces to come. This is what I want you to do, Jehoshaphat. I want you to get the singers and the worshipers. I want you to get those who praise me. Some of you need to get a hold of this. Distractions trying to set in. You need to get the praisers and the worshipers. You need to get the worshipers and the praisers. And you need to begin to praise and thank God for what he has already done in your life. Thank him because he is God. And there is nobody in heaven and earth. There's nobody that's above him. Listen, all power is in his hands. You need to think about this. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. And the children of Judah began to go out that day and they begin to praise and worship God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get the worshipers out there. Listen, get them out there, Jehoshaphat, and begin to thank me. Begin to praise me for what I've already done and for what I'm about ready to do. And when they begin to do that and begin to thank God for all that he had done, God sent an ambush against the enemy of God. Listen, friend. Oh, I can't express enough how important praise and worship is in your life. It's not just singing a little song. It's not listening to something on K-Love, and that's good. It goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. It has to resonate from your spirit, man. It has to come out of here. And when they begin to praise, sing God praises to God when all the odds were against them, God sent an ambush, and he defeated their enemies and led them out by a mighty great victory. That night, Paul and Silas, against all odds, were in the prison, held steadfast in stocks and bonds. No way of getting out. They thought death was imminent. And there was no way that we're going to escape. But at the hour of midnight, some of you here tonight feel like it's the hour of midnight in your life. It's the darkest, one of the darkest hours of the night. The hour of midnight. Oh, when they've been beaten and discouraged, and they had been held fast in those stocks and bonds. They didn't look at each other and say, how bad we got it. How bad you feeling right now, Silas? Silas didn't say, how bad you feeling right now, Paul? They began to talk about God's goodness. They began to pray and to sing praises unto God. And at the darkest hour of their night, God shook that prison. There's some of you in this room right now, you're in a prison. Not behind walls, you're not in a federal prison, you're not in a state prison, but you're in a prison in your mind, you're a prison in your from your past, you're in a prison of your restrictions, your your addictions and your struggles. You're in a prison. You're in a prison of hopelessness. You're in a prison of discouragement and depression. But your third day is here. The hour of midnight is here. And all the odds may be against you, but somebody's getting ready to get up. Somebody's getting ready to get free. I said, somebody's getting ready to get up. Somebody's getting ready to get free. I just wish somebody in God's camp today would believe that this is your day. Because, Kathy, there was a day when you stood there. Tears were streaming like Niagara Falls. God began to reveal His goodness to you and His grace. Something began to shake inside you. Then the thought said, if I can trust God, if I can believe God, all things are possible. I can be set free. I can be set free. The hour of midnight, the prison shake, and everyone in the prison was set free, including Paul and Silas. That night, they went home to a home meeting and revival service, and everybody in the jailer's house got saved that night because somebody believed, even against all odds, all things are possible. When you begin to praise and you put God first in your life above all things. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that today? I said, do you believe that? Close. So what are the odds? You know what? Sometimes we're like, we come here. God showed Himself mightily in worship today. Worship, the presence of God was so powerful in this place today. Don't think that is a common thing, friend. Don't think of that as a common thing. God grace us with His powerful presence today. Then He bless us with a powerful, real word. Don't think that common. But every Sunday we come, every Sunday we come, every Sunday we come, every Sunday we come. Some of us. We come and we do the same thing. We believe the same thing. But God wants to do something in you today. Something powerful that's shaking. Something waking in your spirit today. If you can believe even against all odds, whatever you're faced with today, I'd like for everybody to bow their head in this room. And I'd like for you to give precedence to God and the Holy Ghost right now. This is a very holy moment. This is a very holy, precious moment right here. And it's not to be taken lightly. Listen, this is a powerful moment. And the Holy Spirit can be so offended. Today, there's a holy God looking down in your circumstances and your situations and saying, I can do this in you. If you can believe that, if you can believe me, I can make all things possible to you. I can make that impossibility come possible if you can believe me. So whatever you're facing here today, whatever as a ministry that we're facing, we're in a new land. We're facing giants. We face struggles. And there will be. But against all odds, can we believe that God who brought us to it is the same God that can get us through it? Do we believe that? It's easy to say on paper, isn't it? It's easy to say. But can we believe Him? Can we trust Him right now? So if you're here today and God has spoken to your heart, you're here and you need Jesus in your life, and somehow your problems, your
your circumstances. You're living under your circumstances. You're living under, beneath the domain of your problems and your struggles. And life is suffocating you. Let's be real today. Let's be real. You'll say, Pastor R, that's me. And I know today that I want to believe in God with all my heart. And I know that if I believe Him and take Him at His word, I know He can do exactly what He said He was going to do. If that's you, slip your hand up with mine right now and say, pray for me. God bless those honest hearts. God bless those honest hearts. I believe that totally 100%. I believe His word. I believe His word. I believe His word. Clay, can you bring Hattie up here? Have you got her with you? I know I pick on little Hattie a lot, but I could pick on a lot of you here. All the odds were against you, Kevin. All the odds were against you, buddy. And who would have ever thought you would be here in this place? Who would have ever thought you would have been up at Lost Creek working like a Trojan up there, busting your gut, sweat pouring, and singing to Jesus all day long? Who would have thought? All the odds were against you. Well, see, I believe in miracles. I just don't want to preach about them. I believe in them. And you see, all the odds right here that this little child right here even is on the planet. Is that true? All the odds were against her. What was her chance of surviving? Do you know that? What, you remember that number?
5%.
All the odds were against this family. But somebody believed in God. Somebody stood upon God's word and said, I believe God's word trumps whatever man may say or think. And somebody in this room has got to believe that today for your own life, that God's word trumps anything that you're going through. God is greater. Do you believe that? God is greater. Do you believe He's greater in cancer? Raise your hand if you believe He's greater in cancer. Do you believe He's greater than sin? Raise your hand if you believe He's greater than sin. Do you believe He's greater than your problems? Raise your hand if you believe He's greater than your problems. How many believes He's greater than death? How many believe that? Amen. Look at this room full of people who believe in today. That's all that's required. That we believe. We believe. And you believe. And the doctor's report now says, in just simple terms, the biggest, most important one.
That's kind of tough, is she's 6 months old. She's going to die in 6 months. From what the doctor says. She will. No. His words was she will, 100%. Die in 6 more months. She's not going to.
I want you to turn to somebody and I want you to say this: you shall not die. But don't leave it there. But you shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You believe that? This little child's doing things that the doctor says she couldn't do. It's always amazing when God, I love it when God shows off and He says, look what I can do. Amen. I love it when God takes people who will believe Him at His word, just His word today. Thank you. Let's give it up for Hattie. Amen. Let's give it up for Hattie. But I want to say this. Listen, that's one little minute case. Look at the Hatties in this room. I said, look at the Hatties in this room. 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 So if you're here today and you raised your hand, God's going to ask you to do something. He's going to ask you to step forward and believe Him. Believe His Word. Simply believe His Word. Just believe His Word. Forget about what you see around you. Just forget about what's spewing into your ears, into your brain. Just believe God's Word. Say, God, I'm going to believe Your Word. I'm going to believe Your Word. I'm going to believe You so much today that I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to step out and I'm going to believe Your Word. Listen, if you need a miracle, if you need God to do something in your life, you're here and you raised your hand earlier. I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm going to ask people here today to join in their faith with your faith and believe God for you, with you. I'm going to ask people here today to believe with you and for you today. Amen? So if you're here and you raise your hand, when we count to our, I'm not going to count to three, I'm just going to ask us, when I say the word stand, we're going to all stand. And if you're here today and God is, man, pulling your heart, He's pulling your spirit, He's shaking something in your core today, I'm going to ask you to come and get out of your seat. Even if you've got your life all figured out and it's all working great and wonderful, you can believe for somebody else. Amen. You can believe for somebody else. You can believe for somebody else. Amen. Stand. Let's go. If that's you, I want you to come right now. If you need God to do something in your life right now, I want you to come. If you need God to do something in your life, come. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we need to come. We need people praying and agreeing with these people right here. We need people praying and agreeing with these people right here. You realize what God is doing right here? You realize what God's doing right here? You need to believe God right now. You need to believe God right now. Against all odds. What are the odds? When everything is against you. When everything is against you. When everything seems to be against you. When everything seems to be going wrong. What are the odds of you finding a breakthrough? In the name of Jesus, I believe that.